Syn Media acknowledges and pays respect to the people of the Woiwurrung and Boonwurrung language groups of the Eastern Kulin Nations, on whose unceded lands the Syn Studio stands. Syn extends this respect to the traditional custodians and peoples of the land and waters our content reaches. It always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
The views of and opinions expressed in this podcast are solely those of young people hosting the podcast, and we do not intend to speak on behalf of any organisation. Any content produced is of our own opinion and are not endorsed by any affiliated organisations.
Greetings to all those tuning into our inaugural MIAC podcast. We'd like to thank the listeners out there and hope you enjoy our recording.
I'm Ed.
I'm Phoebe.
And I'm Bridget.
We're here today to discuss a topic which is affecting a lot of youth. It is mental health. It impacts all of us, our friends, relatives, colleagues as well. We would like to acknowledge anyone out there who has had or is going through bad mental health. We know it can be tough, but we're here for you and hope you find comfort in our personal experiences.
Before we dive into the nitty-gritty, personally, for me, music is a huge part of my life. I have a series of personalised playlists that range from upbeat music to comfort music. So first, I wanted to start off with asking you guys, what songs do you listen to brighten up?
I can go first. Well, I have a whole playlist, but a lot of it consists of George Michael. I love the song Freedom. I know it's a bit cheesy, but yeah.
Can you sing it for us?
No. Give definitely us a bar. No, guys, no. No, like maybe one day.
It would brighten up our day. Yeah.
I'm sure it would brighten up your day, but it would not brighten up mine. Okay. What about you, Ed?
For me, yeah, I have a bunch of different playlists. I have like a sad playlist, you know, I have a more upbeat playlist as well, but I don't really have a song that really brightens up my day specifically. I'd say that I have an artist that I love listening to, which is Justin Bieber, and I love songs that you can really sing to as well. And Justin Bieber has a bunch of different hits that you can sing to.
Can we hear?
Can you give us a
baby,
hit?
Baby.
Oh, nice.
That's all I got for today.
Great. For me, I also have a lot of playlists as well. For example, I have a sentimental playlist that me and my friends like to listen to when any one of us is journaling or going through a, you know, monumental stage in our life, such as pre-graduation for uni. That's all either of us listen to. I also enjoy listening to music that me and my friends have memories around, or I have special memories around, and it brightens my day up because it puts me back into those situations. So that would be a lot of electronic music from the different sort of events I go to with my friends when we're dancing together and hugging each other. But for one song that's off the top of my head that brightens up my day, that would be Love Lost by Temper Trap and Mac Miller.
Awesome. It's great to hear about, you know, these songs that really brighten your day. But moving on to the next section of this, I know that a lot of our listeners who are tuning in may be from high school, so I just want to quickly touch on everyone's experiences with mental health in schools. So what are your main causes of stress and your thoughts on the professional services provided within schools?
So this question is directed at me because I am in high school still. I'm the tail end of year 12, so getting there, but
what caused you stress?
Just everything. No, it's just I guess the workload, even though it's not that different from year 11, it's just the workload seems so much more because of the pressure from teachers and parents. So yeah, I'd say that's the main root cause.
And would you say that there are a lot of services within your school that are provided to you to help you deal with that stress?
I would say so. I'm very fortunate. I go to an all-girls Catholic school. So we have a whole well-being centre where we've got, I think it's like 6 counsellors. I think we even have like a psychologist that's on campus like 5 days a week, which is like crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm really lucky in that regard because we've got like free counselling and everything. So yeah, we have a lot of services provided for us.
I remember back in my day, in high school that if we
10
had,
years ago.
If we had counsellors coming in, or if any of the students wanted to see a counsellor, they would be approached by a school staff member during the middle of class, and it would make a little bit of a scene because all the other students would know that this student was seeing a counsellor. Did either of you have similar experiences?
Yeah, very similar experiences. So if we did want to see a counsellor, they would show up to class, tap you on the shoulder, and I guess escort you to their office. And I guess it wasn't really socially acceptable to kind of go to see counsellors, especially as a person that was in a predominantly boys group, right, where we didn't really talk about mental health, talk about our emotions and experiences. We kind of just talked about, you know, sports, didn't really talk about our feelings. So if these guys would kind of see you walk to the school counsellors, and it wouldn't be a very, you know, tough thing to do as a guy. But did you also feel this social stigma in school as well when you were seeking professional services?
I personally haven't. Probably on it, during like the earlier years of high school, girls used to walk to the wellbeing centre, and in my school, for some reason, everything is glass. There's like no actual solid walls, so everyone can see like out into the hallway, and everyone knows when you're walking to the wellbeing centre because it's like at one end of the school. So yeah, not a lot of girls, they don't tend to go to see counsellors during class because of stigma, unfortunately. So then instead they go during lunch and snack, because then people don't know you're going there.
Yeah, that's not too good to hear. So for those people that don't really want to go see the counsellor at school because of the stigma, what are some other avenues of support that you could possibly use?
Through school. Or outside of school?
Both.
Outside of school, I guess you could really support on your friends to provide you with, you know, a shoulder to cry on or an ear to listen to all of the problems you're going through, and you never know, your friends could be going through the same issues as you, especially if you're someone that's in high school and you're facing a lot of stress due to high school pressures and pressures from your parents or having to decide things around your future. There's a 99% chance that your friends are going through the same thing as you.
Yeah, I completely agree. So moving on, schooling has played a role in everyone's life, and some of us are a couple years out of high school, and then some of us, like myself, are still in high school. And I'm curious, as someone who is still in high school, how have your friendships from high school changed, and how has this influenced your mental health?
Yeah, good question. So as someone who has graduated from university last year and started full-time work in April this year, there is a significant change in the time you have to spend with your friends, and also the amount of intention or the type of intention you'd put behind the friends you hang out with and who you want to see. I'd say that when you're in high school or university, you tend to make friends based on just whoever is around you because of your classes or because you see the same teacher for a subject. Once you're in full-time work, you're really relying on those friendships you've already established. But when you're making new friends, it would be based on the hobbies that you do have, since you're already doing those activities such as going to the gym or watching movies with your friends who are also fans of movies, for example. So I would say that I'm a lot more intentional with the type of friends I make and the friends that I see. But at the same time, it has really strengthened my friendships because, you know, quality over quantity.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that those friends that are there for you are also friends who are really busy themselves and are going through the same things as you.
Yeah, I completely agree as well. You know, as a final year university student and also working quite often, I can see that my friendships have really shifted across the years. Being, you know, in a high school kind of surrounding, you think that these friends are going to be lifelong friends. However, you know, after the next couple of years, you'll notice that everyone kind of breaks off, not for, you know, necessarily good or bad reasons. They might just have their own pathways that you don't necessarily have as well. For example, someone else does a different degree than you, or someone else wants to move interstate or overseas. Your friendships really kind of break off, and I think that you're really a product of your own environment. And I guess my environment nowadays is this, my work colleagues, MIAC, my community as well. So these are the types of people that I hang around with, not my high school friends anymore. And that has kind of really shifted my friendship group a lot. But we all have, you know, respect for each other. There's no kind of hard feelings after, you know, high school finishes, where you kind of stop being friends with them because of a certain reason. It's just because life just moves on. But yeah, in terms of my mental health, I think it hasn't really negatively affected it. I found a lot of friends that have very similar interests than myself as well, which is what Phoebe was mentioning as well, because after high school, you really kind of do more of your hobbies. For example, I did bouldering the other day and I went with my friends, but that's something that I wouldn't have necessarily done in high school with my high school friends.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the advice, guys. I'm sure the listeners found that beneficial, but I certainly did.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's very clear that there is some overlap in our experiences, as well as some unique issues we've had to endure. Because of that, I'm really curious to know about what are the specific forms of advice that you've received over the years that have either been really good or really bad?
I guess I can go first. Some really bad advice, in my opinion, is just, like, let it go. I don't know how to comment on this, because just when people tell me that, I get so, like, frustrated, because things impact people differently. So for someone to say that, you know, they're not in your shoes, so how can they tell that to you? You know what? I don't know if this is making sense.
Yeah, it feels like your experiences are being invalidated.
Yeah, exactly. So leading into some good advice that I sort of, I don't know if I made it up myself or if I heard it somewhere, but it's, yeah, but it's blame it on the boogie. I'm just going to go out and say it, but blame it on the boogie, yes. I know it's a bit cheesy, but I have the view that life shouldn't be taken too seriously, so that's what I like to apply to everything and try and find the positive things and challenges and stuff. So, yeah, that's my advice.
Great. You, Ed?
Yeah, I think just some of the bad advice that I've had was don't feel like this because someone else is in a worse position than you. And it's the same thing as you said, Bridget, like it really invalidates, you know, your point of view as well, just because, you know, someone else is in a worse position doesn't mean that what you're feeling right now isn't actually valid. So it's kind of a gaslight phrase. Advice that has really changed my life is something that's a bit controversial, which is it's not that deep, because that is also a phrase used to gaslight people as well into thinking that their opinions aren't really valid. But for me, as a person that really overthinks about things and overcomplicates things, this really brings me back down to reality. And when my friends tell me this, it really simplifies the situation just a lot more. And I realize that, yeah, it's not that deep. It's not, you know, that complicated. I can kind of move past this. There's simpler solutions behind this. So, yeah, those are the two advices that I have been given.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Those are the exact same things I wanted to talk about too. In terms of
drama.
In terms of people telling me there are other people in worse situations than you, I do agree that's super invalidating, such a gaslighting phrase, because, you know, if as a fellow overthinker, if someone were to tell me that, I would just start overthinking into what potential bad experiences every single person could be experiencing at that one occasion, and then it would eventually end up in me feeling guilty about the way that I feel, or feeling guilty that I don't feel a certain way about a situation where, for example, someone else in my shoes might be happy or feel a different way to that. And on top of that as well, I agree it's controversial that it's not that deep is a good form of advice, but it is a great form of advice for me, because as someone who is always overthinking at 150%, it's not that deep brings me back down to 100%, which is the normal level of thinking. And it reminds me that there's no need to overcomplicate a situation that doesn't need to be overcomplicated. It's not a thing, quotation marks, unless it's you make it a thing. And at the end of the day, you get to choose what type of reaction or what type of air you want to give to a problem. And another form of advice I do think is really beneficial is emotions have no logic, because you're entitled to feel the way, whichever way you do feel about a situation, regardless of how another person might feel in that situation if they were you or being faced with the same things that you are being faced with.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, just blame it on the boogie.
Yeah, and just one thing I'd like to point out as well is that, you know, the advice that you're giving or, you know, receiving is very subjective as well. So for Phoebe and I, It's Not That Deep might be a phrase that really changed our life or helped us in a way. But for other people, it's, you know, a phrase that won't really sit well with others. So you know your friends the best. You can sense the vibe with your friend and you choose whatever's appropriate in the situation as well. So, yeah, this is not a prescription. Moving on to the next segment. Thanks for sharing your examples, by the way, for good advice and bad advice. I think we're now more aware about, you know, what to say, what to avoid saying, and just the different social contexts as well, of when you should say something. I'm now excited to introduce a little question of the day segment from our listeners. So thank you everyone who put in questions in our Instagram story. So this question, I experienced a lot of pressure from my parents to perform well in school, not just academically, but in other facets of education, such as extracurricular activities. Is there a way to healthily balance a multitude of commitments? And what are your experiences with mental health and ongoing pressure from your family?
Mm-hmm. I think there are a few topics that we should absolutely discuss in that question. So that would be, you know, the pressure to succeed academically, the pressure to also excel in your extracurriculars such as sports, and also having to prove yourself to your parents, not disappoint your parents as well. The first thing I wanted to say is that your success is defined, differently by every individual. So regardless of whether your parents believe that your success is defined by the way you might be acing your tests or the way your results might be showing up in school, at the end of the day, you get to choose. If you also deem that as a form of your self-worth, then what your identity may be. Your identity is filled of way more than just how well you perform at an activity. It's the way you treat your friends and also what your hobbies and interests are. So try to remember that at the end of the day.
Yeah, I completely agree. And just adding on top of that, you also need to take care of yourself, because at the end of the day, you can't change someone else's perspective of pressure, and because parents are wanting to, they're going to put pressure on you, but it's you get to choose how that influences you. So I would say plan time during the week to take care of yourself and step back from those things. You know, like sit down for an episode of your favorite show on Netflix or favorite Disney show, eat some chocolate, but yeah.
Blame it on the boogie as well.
But yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I completely resonate with this question as well. I think I had a lot of pressure as a young kid to really ace all my tests and do well academically as well. But once I kind of transitioned to doing more extracurricular activities within school, like doing the choir or being, you know, a school leader, I did face that pressure from my parents because it was sort of a distraction in their eyes. So I felt that pressure a lot. But the way I coped with it was literally just trusting my gut and also relying on the support networks around me to really help me cope through that. When I would be doing these volunteer activities or extracurricular activities, I'd had friends that were in a very similar situation to myself as well. So I could confide in them about it. And nowadays, I could see the benefits moving forward with employment, because, you know, your employers do want to see that you're a human and a lot more than just a number or your ATAR that you get after high school. So these activities that you do or all the fun things that you do outside of school really make you into a more whole person. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, and adding on to that employability point that Ed mentioned, genuinely, as someone in full-time work, crack a few jokes, bring up the mood of your team meetings and your workplace, and your director will actually notice, or your team leaders will actually notice, and they'll reach out to you for initiatives or for any sort of tasks as well that will show very greatly on your resume.
One thing I don't think we've talked about in regards to pressure is how much pressure we place on ourselves, especially Year 12 students. So just reiterating my point of to take care of yourself. Yeah.
Take care of yourself, folks.
So just one last final question is, what do we want for the future in terms of mental health and wellbeing support?
In a utopian sort of perspective, I'd hope that everyone is more comfortable being vulnerable with each other, whether it be their friends or their workmates and people in school, around the way that they're feeling and around the fact that they might want help, or even if they might not want help, and just to be able to have an informal chat with your coworker, for example, or your team leader about the fact that on the weekend you weren't feeling too well because of mental health. But, you know, it doesn't need to proceed to such a formal scheduled catch-up meeting to discuss those issues. What I'm trying to say is I do hope in the future that conversations around mental health can be a lot more vulnerable, casual, and more informal.
Yep, just with me, I think getting rid of that boys' culture where it's not tough to talk and be open about things, about your emotions. So just getting rid of that, and also programs being more accessible to young people, such as, you know, counselling, get rid of the stigma, have more different professional services like counselling dogs. But yeah, that's what I want for the future.
Yeah, what I want for the future is a bit unrealistic, but I would love like a mental health facility on like every single corner and it was all free. But fortunately, I don't think that will be happening anytime soon. So instead, in my closer idea of the future, I hope that we can say, are you okay, more often, and check in with our friends more, because let's be real, we don't all do it enough. So
we don't. Yeah.
Thanks everyone for sharing your experiences today. It's been really insightful hearing your thoughts on mental health in the schooling system, as well as how this changes once you graduate and exit the schooling system as well. Tune in for our next episode, everyone, where we'll be touching more on the mental health stigmatization across varying cultural backgrounds, where we're fortunate enough to have an experienced health professional as a guest to address some of your concerns. Until then, take care of yourself and take care of your friends.
Bye!